Earlier this month, a man entered a building on the Seattle Pacific University campus and opened fire. One person was killed, two others wounded. That same week, three other Seattle residents were murdered, all young men, all victims of gun violence. In Seattle Mayor Murray's emotional speech yesterday, he voiced his support for expanding background checks.
We are not looking to take guns away from responsible citizens, but we are looking for a way to prevent guns from becoming so easily available to criminals. We must change that.
What policies actually help reduce gun violence? Jeffrey Swanson's a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Duke University School of Medicine. He says stricter gun laws do prevent gun violence.
Some are about sort of about the guns, and you call this gun control, and some are sort of people control, you know, and the states vary a lot on these laws. And if you look, for example, at the Brady campaign scorecard, they have a 100-point scale, and they rank the states on this. And with things like firearms trafficking and background checks and child safety and whether they ban assault weapons and so on. And, you know, the states that get a higher score on this and have more restrictive gun laws actually tend to have lower rates of firearm fatalities as reported by the CDC. That's a correlation. It's not necessarily a strong cause, but there are a number of ways in which those laws can actually work. You know, a number of states have waiting periods, and think about it, if a young person is inclined to go get a gun to try to end their own life, a waiting period might stop them from that impulsive act.
Dr. Swanson, some people say we need to go to the root of the problem. They say it's poverty. How does addressing income inequality or homelessness affect gun violence?
When you think about, you know, gun violence at the simplest level, deconstruct it, you have guns and you have people. And, you know, in theory, if we didn't have people who were inclined to harm others or themselves, we could live in a world with lots of guns and we wouldn't have gun violence. So one way to think about this is violence is kind of a public health problem. And, you know, you could think about it as if it were a communicable disease in a community. And there are lots of determinants, sort of social pathology, social disadvantage, poverty, unemployment, homelessness, crime, all tend to go together. And what happens when you think about kids growing up in that environment is kids are exposed to trauma and victimization and then sometimes grow up to be perpetrators. So, you know, we can't necessarily predict who that one individual is going to be who's going to be violent. That might be a needle in a haystack. But if you think about, let's, you know, try to find the haystack and the needle and focus on all those things, we could maybe prevent the unpredicted by thinking about, you know, a better social safety net, having better access to mental health services, drug abuse treatment services, you know, all kinds of things that you don't necessarily think of as violent prevention strategies, but they might work that way downstream. That's a long-term project.
Seattle Mayor Ed Murray yesterday talked about increasing job opportunities for teenagers over the summer as a crime deterrent. Is there any connection in your mind between fully employed kids and reduction in violence?
There is a connection between unemployment and violent behavior. We could talk about what the mediators might be, but clearly, you know, providing opportunities for people to lead productive lives and to, you know, move out of, you know, situations where they're socially disadvantaged and economically disadvantaged could lower risk for violence.
I'm talking with Jeffrey Swanson, who's a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Duke University School of Medicine. So essentially what I hear you saying is that there, you can't maybe pinpoint the exact person who might become violent, but if you have a sort of blanket policy in that would address a lot of possible concerns, you're likelier to stop something from ever taking root?
Well, that's part of it. There are things that we can do, and our Consortium for Risk-Based Firearms Policies, a group I'm involved with, has produced two reports, one for state policies and one for federal policies. And, you know, some of the recommendations are things like, why not prohibit firearms from people with a history of violent misdemeanor connections? There's evidence that those individuals, when they purchase a gun, are far more likely to commit a violent crime with a gun. Or people who are respondents to a temporary domestic violence restraining order, there's evidence that could prevent violent fatalities. And on the mental health side, even though the vast majority of people with mental illness are not violent, there are times when we do know that risk is elevated, when people come into contact with the mental health care system during a crisis, even if they don't end up getting formally involuntarily committed, for example, if they're brought in on a 72-hour hold, those individuals could be prohibited from accessing firearms on a temporary basis. We also want to make sure, though, that we protect the rights of lawful gun owners and give people an opportunity for an expedient restoration of their gun rights when they no longer pose a risk to public safety.
Finally, I want to refer back to something that you said a bit earlier. You were talking about how we're maybe not more prone to violence than people in other countries, but we have access to guns. So we are steeped, in a sense, in a gun culture. Do we ultimately have to change that culture to lower incidences of gun violence?
You know, I do think that we need to change the culture. We live, you know, in a culture that celebrates guns, that has domesticated guns, and so yes, I think that you know, that would help, but it's certainly not the only answer either, because guns are really here to stay. I mean, we don't want to say, well, we just have to change the culture and change the fact that you know, guns are represented by such powerful corporate interests and political interests, and it's a radioactive political symbol. Let's get past that. We have to do a lot of work, you know, in spite of that controversy that we have and in spite of the country that we live in, because guns are here to stay, but we don't have to live in a society that is so violent. There are many things that we could do.
Jeffrey, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you. It was good to be with you.
That was violence prevention expert Jeffrey Swanson. He's a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Duke University School of Medicine. Yesterday, Seattle Mayor Ed Murray unveiled a plan to address gun violence. He calls it the Summer of Safety.